Technical issue. There we go. Okay. Okay. Good morning. That clip from movie The Jesus Revolution was about an awakening that happened in the late 60s and early 70s, starting on the West Coast, moving across America, had a very big influence on the church. It was an awakening among the hippie culture. Thank you, brother. Okay. Now we're doing good. Woodstock, the generally very anti-religious, drug-using hippies started finding that drugs didn't do it for them. They couldn't get enough. It was an empty life. And many of them started turning to Jesus and then showing up in churches. That's what this scene was about. And this pastor said, I will lose my job. These guys are too different, right? And sure enough, several people in the churches would leave the churches. They didn't like the way these hippies dressed, didn't like their music. And many pastors like this guy said, look, our traditions are good, but they are not sacred. They are not, we want to reach this generation in their language. A lot of times our traditions, our way of doing things, our culture can get in the way. Do we still have trouble with tradition? I think we do. Back in the 90s, when contemporary Christian worship started really taking off, there was a hard push against it. Say, no, we use organs, we use pianos, we sing hymns. There were many very prominent teachers in the church who said, if you have one single offbeat, one single rock beat in your music, you're compromising with Satan. And it divided and destroyed many, many churches. We have a similar movement with homeschoolers saying, oh, churches only homeschool and they can't have friends with non-homeschooled kids. What about dancing? What about drinking? It's easy to develop a lot of traditions around things like this, where tradition becomes more important than doctrine. How did we get Halloween? All Hallows' Eve used to be a very doctrinally rich time of observing, remembering. Hebrews 11, remember those who've gone before you. We were surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. That's gone. Can people celebrate Christmas without God in the picture? Yes, of course they can. And we can do a lot of things in church, and God is not really in the picture. In this passage, we're going to read, some envoys come from Jerusalem to ask Jesus a question about tradition. They've traveled over 90 miles on foot in the heat to ask him this question. So it's very important to them. Now, have you ever heard a teacher say, there's no bad questions, just ask me a question? Well, this is a bad question. Jesus is going to rebuke them and put them in their place. So let's stand and read this together. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1. Then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you that we can come before you and sing songs of praise. Lord, you delight in our worship, Lord. Thank you that you make it clear you want us to be full of joy. You want us to be following after you. We pray that as we look into your word, give us more understanding how to follow you, Lord, what it means to worship you, what it means to be a friend of God. Speak to us, Lord. Revive us in your spirit according to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So these guys, they come and they say, we want to wash our hands before we eat. Be sure we stay pure. Be sure we stay clean. And Jesus says, why are you ignoring God's word? God's word doesn't say anything about this. What it does say is honor your parents and take care of them. And what do? You take the money that you should have used to honor your parents and you give it to the temple and you give it to religion, increasing your status, increasing your authority. This is dishonoring not just to your parents, but to God. It's a transactional religion. I'll do this so that God will be pleased with me. He says, your heart is far from me. You're just doing this transaction. The law, when God gives his commandments, the spirit of the law is personal. I do it in order to honor God, my father, my king, even my friend. Abraham was a friend of God. He said, what you're doing is not good. Let's look and ask ourselves a couple of questions, right? These guys are following tradition, but their hearts are far from God. So I just want to ask us, as we consider this, a couple of questions. Why are we religious? We're coming to church, we're singing songs, we're studying the Bible, we're praying. Why are we doing this? Now, many times in the Old Testament, God would ask his people, why are you offering these sacrifices? Why are you doing this? He didn't say that they shouldn't do it. He just said, why are you doing it? Actually, he said sometimes, you make me want to vomit. Literally, I see your fasting. I see your sacrifices. He told him in Isaiah, I just want to vomit, right? Why are you doing this? Your heart is far away from me. He says, God's not in the picture at all. Now, King David in Psalm 40 said, in sacrifice and offering, you have not delighted. Burnt offering and sin offering, you have not required. But you've given me an open ear. Now, actually, God did require it. You look in Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, God has very detailed description of how to bring sacrifices and offerings. But when King David prays, it needs to come from the heart. Right? You don't require these things just as payment for my sin, right? You require these things as an act of worship, right? It's got to be personal. No one gains or loses purity, holiness, by following a bunch of external regulations, right? If it's not from the heart, from the core of my being, where my passions are, my affections, my drives, then it's worthless. So, we ask ourselves, why are we religious? Why do we go to church? Am I really trying to connect with God, or am I just doing a religious thing? Can we hurry along with the message? Just put the fries in the bag. I got things to do, right? Or do I really want to connect with God? Y'all like that one? Thank you. Oh. Why do we study the Bible? Why do we give? Why do we serve? Do I keep God at a distance? He said, your hearts are far from me. All this religious stuff you're doing. Remember about 5 years ago, Notre Dame caught fire. It's big, beautiful cathedral in Paris caught fire, badly damaged. Within 1 week, they raised over $1 billion to restore Notre Dame. Anybody in here give to the restoration? $1 billion. Do you think The world wanted to honor Christ and lift up the cup of salvation. Did they want to lift up the name of Jesus? I mean, this church is where people come and meet with God and worship Him and have fellowship together and study His Word together. That's the whole purpose of the church. Didn't hear, right, Ting Bing? We didn't hear anything about that. Nothing. At least not in the news. I never heard anybody talk about wanting to honor God. It's actually a way to keep God at a distance, far from my heart, right? I can put God in this nice, big, beautiful building served by men in soft clothing, completely separate from my life, especially, you know, far away from my heart. I've got a lot of things I'm ashamed of. We just keep Him at a distance. How many orphans and widows could be helped by $1 billion? Twice Jesus has said, "I desire compassion and not sacrifice," quoting from the Old Testament. God says, "Why are you doing this? There is no compassion. There is no love. There is no worship. Your heart isn't in it." So we want to examine our hearts. Why are we doing these things? Are we really following Jesus? People say one of the greatest miracles Jesus ever performed was having 12 friends that are actually close to Him, that actually walk with Him. So why are we religious? The answer is so we can walk with God, right? Jesus already told us, when you pray in secret. It's between me and God. It's not religion that other people can see and say, "Oh, what a good religious person." When you give, He said, you give in secret. It's personal. It's between me and God. When you fast, He said, you fast in secret. Study in order to know God better. Jesus told these religious leaders, you study the scriptures because you think in them you find life. They talk about me. You should be looking to me. The spirit of the law, including the spirit of the Ten Commandments, including the law that said, honor your father and mother. It's personal, right? And for us, literally, we have the Holy Spirit to guide us personally. Okay, so here's another question. What's coming out of us, right? If His Word is going into us, it's going to bear fruit, right? So what's coming out of us? Jesus is going to keep talking to the people. He said, "Oh, these guys, your religious leaders, they're concerned about purity. You know, I don't want any dirt getting into my body." Maybe like cleanliness is next to godliness, right? So Jesus, after He rebukes them, He calls the crowd, says, "Let me explain to you what's going on." He's going to explain to them. And He called the people to Him and said to them, "Hear and understand, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. What comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person." Then the disciples came and said to Him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" How could they not be offended? "Your hearts are far from me. Isaiah rebuked you guys." He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter still doesn't get it. Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." He said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So we want to look at what comes out of us, right? Do you remember Jesus in the parables of the kingdom? What was His main parable of what the kingdom of heaven is like? What was the main thing He taught? Two big parables. It was about God's seed, God's word, going into our hearts and then growing and bearing fruit. Jesus answers the question here in verse 13. "Every plant that my heavenly Father has planted, will be rooted up." Right? So something is planted here. He talked about the parable of the weeds too, that the enemy came and sowed weeds in the field. If I take God's word into my heart, and I nurture it and care for it, and I pull out the weeds, the temptations towards wealth and things of the world, and I dig out the rocks so the roots can go deep and I can really grow, then I'll bear fruit, right? 30, 60, 100-fold. And fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, right? So, again and again, Jesus said, you take God's word in, and then it's fruitful. Well, the same thing can happen with bad fruit, right? With something that my Father has not planted, right? If I take lies into my heart, if I take stuff contrary to God's word, if I take, for example, pornography into my heart, or an excuse for cheating, an excuse for lying, or an excuse not to honor my parents. Instead, I'll give the money somewhere else. If I take these things into my heart and allow them to grow, allow them to bear fruit, then it's gonna be ugly, right? I'm gonna get selfish, and then I'm gonna get impatient. I'm not getting what I want. And then I'm going to get judgmental of people that are in my way, and pretty soon out comes curses and bitterness, right? That's all Jesus is saying here. These Pharisees, these religious leaders were very selfish. They were looking after their own authority, their own reputation, and what's going to come out of them? A hatred for the Son of God and a desire to destroy him, even to torture him to death. So, how do we guard ourselves against this? How do we guard ourselves? What's the best defense against this? Keeping his word, there you go. What's the best defense? What do they say? A good offense? Religion that is pure, and this is from James, brother of Jesus, and it's very similar to Jesus' teaching here. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Jesus talked about honoring your father and mother according to his law. Here, taking care of orphans who don't have a father and mother. Take care of widows who don't have those caring for them. We want to be on the offensive. I'm guarding my heart, so I'm going out and I'm trying to bear the fruit of serving others, caring for others. In other words, let me put this into context. What does a Christian look like? Like, tradition, culture. What religion is this, do you think? What does that look like? Buddhism, right? You can recognize them. They look like Buddhist monks. What about that? Conservative Hasidic Judaism. You can recognize them by how they dress. How about that? Catholicism. That's Muslim, right? They're very recognizable. Here's more Muslim. Just some examples of religious tradition. Example, what does a Christian look like? Someone who's following Jesus. It translates into any culture. And James says, it's someone who cares. This is what religion, Christian religion, looks like. You're caring for the poor and for the afflicted. It's that simple. In the prophet Micah, about the same time as Isaiah, right? He's kind of imitating the people. He says, what do I come to God with? Will God be pleased with great sacrifices? I'll bring a young calf. I'll bring 1,000 rams. Will God be pleased with 10,000 rivers of oil? Will I give God my firstborn son, the fruit of my life, for the sin of my soul? How am I going to pay God? And then his reply, Micah 6:8, he has told you, O man, what the Lord requires of you, to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. James says something similar. Now, caring for the poor and the afflicted, like the orphan and the widow, like caring for your parents, right? That's these kind of acts of justice, they are not the gospel, right? We don't equate them with the gospel, right? But it's a natural outflow. If you're a Christian, you're going to care for the poor, for the afflicted, as if you were caring for your own parents. It's going to be a fruit that comes out, right? And you know, we're going to do it in Jesus' name. If you marry a girl, you're going to give her flowers. It's just inevitable, right? It comes out of you, right? You give flowers. You say nice things and candy. If you follow Jesus, you're going to care for the poor and the afflicted. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what's coming out of us? What do we want to do? We've got, actually today, starting, we have Samaritan's Purse, right? It's a small opportunity to help an orphan child or a poor child, right? It's you can go out in the lobby and get a shoebox, send a gift to a child in Jesus' name, right? We want to do it in Jesus' name. Not because I'm a nice person, not because I'm paying for it. I want to honor God. I want to proclaim His glory. You got world vision. You can care for children. We do breakfast in the park. We did that, was it last week? Breakfast in the park. Just helping the poor, the needy. There's a foster orphanage near Houston that we help Boys and Girls Country. Okay, that's part of the offensive. And again, it's no coincidence that James' teaching mirrors that of Jesus. Look what he says before this. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Got to guard what comes out of my mouth. What's going to come out, right? So, if I'm going to maintain the offense, I want good things to come out of me. I want to help people. I want to help the orphan and the widow and the needy. And I'm going to meditate on God's word. And I'm going to find something to be thankful for. I'm going to search whatever is good, whatever is beautiful, whatever is commendable. Whatever is lovely, whatever is worth honoring, meditate on these things. I'm going to find something to be thankful for. Right? That's out of Philippians. And I'm going to seek to give thanks to God in all circumstances, to give praise to God. So, why are we religious? Because we want to draw close to God. We want to meditate on His Word. And we want to have a private, secret relationship with God, where we walk with Him, where we deal with our sin. And then the fruit of that, right, what's going to come out of me, I hope, is helping those who are in need. And it's not just, you know, the financially poor, but it might be, you know, people around us who are maybe in your school, there are very socially awkward people who just need a friend, need some kindness, right? There's some way to just help the poor and the needy. I want that to come out of me. And I want to guard my mouth, including my thoughts, right? Just because I want to guard what comes out of my mouth. I want to guard what I think about. I want to meditate. I want to look around. Something God is doing is honorable and lovely. I can give thanks, right? Even if it's just go outside, as we sang, this is my Father's world. It's beautiful. I give thanks to God for the blue sky and the rain and the trees, and find something to honor Him with, something to be thankful for. That is pure and undefiled religion. That is what it means to follow Jesus, to honor God. And the Bible will translate into any culture. It'll translate to the hippie culture, right? They can worship God with their music and barefoot, the way they dress. It'll translate, of course, the Chinese culture. There's nothing about Christianity that is not metacultural, right? You can sing the songs with any kind of music. Any language, any dress. So, Let's press on to know Jesus and then to walk with him and to make him known. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you that you make it so clear. You want us to walk with you personally. And Lord, I pray we would be wise to guard our hearts, guard our actions, that we don't go through the motions, that we would come to church saying, I really want to connect with God. I don't want to just pretend. I don't want to just follow a bunch of tradition, Lord. We want to see you and we want to show people. We want to testify to how good you are. And Lord, we want to be disciplined in bringing our offerings to you and serving and meditating on your word, spending time in prayer, serving together. Lord, give us wisdom to make sure that as we do these things, we're doing them for your glory, for your honor, and we testify. It's because we love you, Lord. Guide us, Lord, in following you and in proclaiming the joy of your salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.